apologized and asked for his forgiveness. What is that supposed to mean? She throws me a terrified look. Xander carried me? All the way to your room. And you let him? To my defense, I couldn't carry you inside. Shit. Her eyes almost bulge as she glances at me. What else did I do? I hold up my fingers and count. You pulled Xander's hair, asked him if you were pretty, then you asked if he forgives you, then you cursed him. She groans, head bowing. Someone kill me. Let's go home. I can't physically be at school today. I'll stuff you with ice cream and not tell a word about it to your aunt. I don't think it was that bad, I laugh. At least you didn't get kissed in front of the whole school. Kim hits the brake so hard, I would have tumbled forward if I hadn't the seatbelt on. Kim! You... She swallows, giving me a frantic look. You were kissed by Xander. Xander? No, Aiden. Aiden? I lift a shoulder, feeling self-conscious. Her eyes widen, but it's not in a judgmental way. Wow! I don't know how to comment on that. I'm still not wrapping my head around it either. And all the things we did in private. I climaxed. Twice. I hide my head and my hands groaning. It was in front of the whole school, Kim. I don't know what the hell I'm going to do about that. Do you like him? She asks almost hesitantly. Do I? Aiden destabilizes me. From the beginning, he has never looked at my surface. He dug his nails deeper and brought out sides of me I didn't even know existed. He toys at forbidden lines that rattle me to the bones. I crave his sickness. I'm becoming attuned to his darkness and intensity. But do I like him? It takes a level of trust to like a person, and I can safely say that I don't trust Aiden. Or maybe I don't trust myself around him. No, I groan. I don't know. Kim makes an affirmative sound, as if she knows what that means. But you liked the kiss. I don't know. Maybe. I was kissed in my previous school, but it wasn't all that consuming, you know? I pause, peeking at her through my lashes. You're not going to judge me? Hell to the no. She faces me and leans over to half-hug me. I'm always on your side, Ellie. You need some adventure in your life, and consuming kisses sound like one hell of a start. I didn't know I needed her approval until she voiced it. I squeeze her arm, silently telling her how grateful I am. Just... Kim's features sober up. Be careful, okay? What do you mean? I just don't want to see you hurt. Her words douse her earlier enthusiasm. I nod because she just told me the truth I needed to hear. That's why Kim is my best friend. She can be both happy for me and see the negative side of things too. When we arrive at the school's car park, we're stopped by the bitch queen and her minions. Seriously. Silver is the last person I need today. Isn't it Frozen and her fat friend? One of Silver's minions says. Her name is Veronica, if I remember correctly. Her uniform is so tight she almost combusts in it. I attempt to sidestep them, but the other minion, Summer, clutches my arm. We're talking to you, teacher slut. And I'm not. I wiggle free. Kim remains on my other side, and I'm proud of the way she lifts her chin. Silver finally steps in front of me. She's a few inches taller, and she uses every inch to look down on me with that condescending air. Stay away from King, you little bitch. I plaster a smile on my face. Why don't you ask him to stay away from me? He's the one who's been chasing me. I had expected that to shut her off and wipe that smug look from her face, but it only deepens. You're nothing but a fling, Frozen. Do you know why? She pauses after asking her rhetorical question. King has always been mine. There's nothing you can do that'll change it. My blood boils despite the calm facade I keep. My hand fists by my side, and Kim clutches my arm. Silver throws me one last glance. A king needs a queen, peasant. Her minions snicker before they push past me and Kim to the entrance. It takes everything in me not to pull them back by their hair and drag them to the floor. But I'm not that person, am I? I don't fantasize about hurting others. So why do I feel like demons are swirling all around me? Never mind her, Kim strokes my arm. She's just being the usual bitch. My lips curl in what I hope looks like a reassuring smile as we walk into the school. They're staring, Kim whispers. That's when I notice that everyone is ogling me. Some even take a sneaky picture here and another one there. When I make eye contact, they pretend to be occupied with their phones. I don't have to wonder for long. The more Kim and I walk down the hall, the louder the whispers become.
Is she really King's girlfriend?
Wasn't she with Knight the other day? Really? King has a girlfriend?
Have you seen Instagram?
I've seen it live at the party.
Girlfriend!
Girlfriend. Reality hits me like one of my unwanted visions. Aiden did it on purpose. The asshole kissed me in front of the entire school to stake a claim that Xander didn't. Aiden must have known that everyone would be talking about it the next day. Hell, he planned for everyone to talk about it. I'm going to kill him. Kim nudges me while we round a quieter corner. Her eyes are almost bulging out of their sockets.
Oh my gosh, Ellie!
What now? My voice is filled with dread. She shows me her phone. More specifically, Aiden's Instagram profile and his last post. Someone took a picture of us at an optimal angle while Aiden sat me on the table and ravaged my mouth. My legs and arms wrapped around him and his body is molded into mine. The caption? Mine.
No, he didn't,
I whisper, not knowing if I'm mortified or just plain shocked.
Oh, yes, he did.
Kim grins and fans herself.
Consuming is the understatement of the century, Ellie. He looks like he was eating you alive.
We'll be late for class. I cut off her stupid grin and head in the direction of our first hour. Kim falls in step with me.
No wonder Bitch Queen felt threatened and showed her claws. King never had a girlfriend, and he sure as hell never posted a picture kissing someone.
Huh. That feels good. In your face, Silver. As soon as we enter the class, I halt. The chatter of the four horsemen ripples in the air. Of course. They're all here. Aiden leans back against his chair, his legs crossed in front of him and his fingers interlace across his abs. His entire attention is on me, as if he's been waiting for my entrance. The clouds of his eyes are gleaming with both triumph and a darkness so pitch black it knots my stomach. He got what he wanted. The whole school thinks I'm his girlfriend. Once again, he took the decision from me. And this time, I'm freaking pissed off. It might also have to do with what Silver said. The confident way she said it grates on my nerves. And because it hurts, I need to inflict it back. I walk to Aiden with wide steps. Ronan grins like an idiot. Xander looks through the window, appearing lost somewhere. Cole, who's been talking to Aiden, stops speaking when I stand in front of Aiden's desk. I plant my palm on it and lower myself to meet him point blank. He arches an eyebrow, as if challenging me. Game on, dickhead. I say in a clear voice for the whole class to hear, I'm not yours. Chapter 24. When I told Aiden I'm not his, I expected anger. Hell, I expected his mean side. Because that's what bullies do, don't they? When pushed, they push back. Instead of letting go and showing his true self, his lips curve into a mocking smile.
That's not what you were saying when you came all over my face. Twice.
My jaw nearly hits the floor. No. He didn't just say that. Kim gasps from beside me and murmurs break all over the class. No one has the audacity to speak up in front of Aiden. Ronan is the only one who laughs, nodding.
I second that. I heard the screams.
Fuck my life. Aiden opens his mouth again, but I silence him with a hand against his lips. Whatever he has to say will ruin me more than he already did. If he appeared triumphant before, he looks absolutely smug now. He raises his brows in a silent stare, challenging me to deny it. The bell rings and Mrs. Stone comes into class. I let go of Aiden and plop into the seat in front of him, because it's the only one available. My movements are flustered as I retrieve my notebook and pens. Warm breaths tickle my ear before Aiden's smooth voice whispers,
"Try denying that you're mine again, and I'll fuck you in front of the lot of them to prove it."
My eyes widen as I grip my pencil tighter. He disappears from my back all too soon as Mrs. Stone continues her lecture. I'm struggling to school my features and chase away whatever picture Aiden just painted in my head. Damn him and his dirty mouth. The space between my legs heat, and I rub them to chase the sensation away. It doesn't work. On the contrary, the friction becomes unbearable. Almost like when Aiden had his mouth on me, his teeth grazing the sensitive skin, his tongue and fingers thrusting in and out of me while, "Miss Quinn!" I startle at Mrs. Stone's voice and my cheeks feel on fire.
"Are you all right?"
Mrs. Stone's voice sounds from above me. "What?"
"You look flushed. Do you need medical care?"
"I'm fine." I grip my pencil tighter, wishing the earth would open up and swallow me. When she leaves, a low, gravelly voice murmurs,
"Certain memories coming back to you."
"Shut up," I hiss. I don't have to look behind me to see Aiden's smug grin. After the two morning classes, I gather my books, wave at Kim, and head to the locker room, opting to skip lunch. Aunt told me to buy my special food from the grocery store, but I forgot this morning. A tall frame steps in front of me before I round the corner to the locker room. I hate how my heart flutters upon seeing him. I hate how perfect he looks in the team's jacket and how his long legs make him appear like a model. I hate everything about him, from the slight sway in his dark hair, to the kissable lips, to the sharp jawline that no 18-year-old should have. "I hate you," I tell him with all the pent-up frustration I've been feeling this morning.
"I think you don't, sweetheart, but you wish you did."
He reaches for me and pinches my cheek.
"You're adorable as fuck when you're all flushed."
He strokes a strand of hair behind my ear. The gesture is so caring and gentle, it almost crumbles my defenses. Then I remember that he's a sociopath, and he could be doing this just so I let my guard down in front of him.
"Why do you never wear your hair down?"
His fingers massage my skull like he's fascinated with it. "I just don't like it." He tilts his head to the side.
"Why?"
I don't know myself. And his caring act won't distract me from his demonic soul. I wiggle away from his hold. "What were you thinking about earlier?" He goes back to stroking my hair like he can't stop himself from doing it.
"Earlier?"
"In class."
"When Mrs. Stone caught you fantasizing."
My cheeks heat and I turn away. "That's not true."
"Liar."
His voice drips with a seductive drawl.
"You were reliving last night, weren't you? Was it the part where I had my tongue inside your heart, wet pussy, while you screamed my name and..."
"Aiden!" I place a hand in front of his mouth. Mortification tugs at my stomach as I search around to see if anyone heard. He removes my hand, but doesn't release it as he cocks his head to the side.
Why are you embarrassed about that?
Are you serious? Of course I'd be embarrassed.
I fantasized about you all night. Do you see me embarrassed about it?
You're a different species. I doubt he even knows what embarrassment means.
Don't.
Don't what?
Don't turn this into a you versus me argument.
Then what is it? Enlighten me.
Own your sexuality, Elsa.
He grips my hand in a possessive hold.
You sure as fuck have an abundance of it, and I don't plan to let it go to waste.
Stop being so crude. I'm supposed to focus in class.
So you were thinking about it?
He smirks.
Are you wet?
No.
Come on.
He pushes.
Admit it.
What if I am? I cross my arms, all the pent-up frustration rising to the surface. What are you going to do about it? Fuck me at school and risk having both of us expelled? Oh, wait. Your father owns the school, so it doesn't matter if you get caught. You can even get away with murder, right? I'll be the one to be thrown out after they make it look like I seduced His Majesty Aiden King. After all, you're king, and I'm a fucking nobody. It's only after my outburst that I realize how fantastic it feels to throw his words back at him. He used them to belittle me and put me in my place before, but now they're smashed straight in his face. I lift my chin, daring him to say anything. His left eye twitches, but his expression remains unreadable.
Watch that mouth.
Or what?
Or I will fuck it.
Screw you, Aiden, okay? You don't get to push my buttons the entire time and only expect yes, Your Majesty. At your order, Your Majesty. What do you want next, Your Majesty? Should I lie down and spread my legs for you? Would you get me out of your system if I let you fuck me? I pant after my outburst. I don't even know what the hell is wrong with me, but I'm so pissed off about Silver's words and his casual attitude. He always gets what he wants, and eventually he'll get bored of me and leave. I want him to leave now because I can feel my walls crumbling, and if I let him inside, he'll just destroy me like he said the first time we met. He'll be the storm that only leaves havoc in its wake. I'd rather take the bullying rather than lose myself to him.
No.
I gawk. No?
Spreading your legs won't get you out of my system. I love owning your body, but that's not the only thing I'm interested in.
Then what else do you want? His voice drops in a haunting whisper.
Every fucking thing.
My mouth parts open, but no words come out. Ronan saves me when he slams into Aiden's back. The latter holds his position as a grinning Ronan circles his shoulder with an arm.
Yo, King! Time for lunch!
Aiden cuts him a glare, but his voice is calm.
You've had a death wish since yesterday. Oops, bad timing.
His inquisitive eyes bounce from me to Aiden. The latter continues to glare at him.
Leave. I'm wounded, mate.
He massages his chest.
Words like that can trigger my abandonment issues.
My eyes widen as I swallow. You have abandonment issues? He nods, staring at Aiden from under his lashes.
And he keeps reminding me of them, Connor.
Hey, I nudge Aiden. That can scar him. He just watches me with amusement, like he's enjoying the show.
I'm already taking therapy.
Ronan continues.
Shut the fuck up, or the only therapy you'll take is for your broken nose. Not the nose, King!
Ronan hides his nose.
This shit is aristocratic. Not when I'm done with it.
Wait. I stare between them with a dumbfounded expression. You were joking.
You looked fucking adorable.
Aiden smiles.
Go back.
Ronan stares at Aiden as if he grew an additional head.
Did you just say adorable?
Aiden's poker face returns.
No, no, no! Don't close off. Come on, King.
He retrieves his phone.
Say it again. I need to get it on camera.
Aiden stares at Ronan's camera and mouths,
"Fuck you."
Ronan flips him off as he tucks his phone in his pocket. Then he leans in to whisper,
"I'll give you 100 if you record footage of when he says shit like that."
What?
500.
I continue staring at him, too shocked to say anything.
Okay, final offer. Nash and Knight will also pay 500 each. That's 1,500.
Aiden barges between us, cutting off Ronan's one-sided negotiation.
Don't you have some place to go?
Aiden asks.
No, I'm good right here.
Ronan gives a Cheshire cat-like grin.
Come eat with us, Ellie. Ellie?
Aiden snaps.
What? Kimmy calls you that, doesn't she?
Don't you call me Frozen. He lifts a shoulder.
I like Ellie better. Come on, let's eat.
Pass. I turn to leave. A strong hand wraps around my arm, and Aiden all but drags me to his side.
You'll eat.
He keeps a possessive arm around my waist as the three of us walk to the cafeteria. If he thinks that he won this round, then he has another thing coming. The cafeteria doesn't have my food, and I won't eat like I said. My phone vibrates. I reach into my jacket. Uncle Jay.
I don't think we'll make it to the game this weekend. I'm buried with work. So sorry, Pumpkin.
My chest squeezes, but I manage to reply. Elsa. It's okay. I have to study anyway. You'll miss me when I'm in Cambridge. Fireworks emoji. Uncle Jay.
Don't make me all emotional now. You'll beat our records. Teamwork.
Elsa. Teamwork. I'm not feeling the words as I type them. Uncle Jay.
Lock up tonight. We might come home late. There are vegetables in the fridge and your aunt says no ice cream.
Uncle Jay.
We love you, Pumpkin.
Another lonely night. Elsa. No problem. Take care of yourselves. I love you guys too. Heart emoji. When I shove the phone back in my pocket, I feel eyes on me. I lift my head and Aiden is watching me intently with a tilted head. Did he read the texts? Ronan is speculating about the next game's lineup, but Aiden isn't paying him the slightest attention. His thumb grazes the small of my back. A shiver blooms over my skin at the intimacy of the gesture. Why do people say that physical contact doesn't matter? Why do they assume that emotions grow in some alien place? Physical touch always plays a part. I know better, because Aiden's touch has been screwing me over since that day he broke the invisible no-touching rule. We head straight to the football team's table, of course. Aiden removes his hand so he can sit me beside him. Xander grins at me, both his dimples on display. It seems genuine enough, so I return a tentative smile. Aiden cuts us a glare so harsh, I decide to focus on my backpack. Xander's grin just widens. Aiden places both hands on my shoulders.
From today onwards, Elsa will be eating with us.
Hell no. I move to stand up, but he leans over to whisper,
"Stay still, or I'll tell them how many times I took you last night."
"You didn't take me," I hiss so only he can hear. He raises an eyebrow.
"They don't know that."
I bite my lower lip to stop myself from screaming. Why does he have this ability to royally piss me off? None of the team members says anything about the new eating arrangement. I don't expect them to. He's king, after all. His word is a royal decree. Ronan waggles his eyebrows.
"Welcome aboard, Ellie. I'm hurt, Frozen."
Xander scoots closer.
"Aren't we a couple?"
Aiden's grip on my shoulders tightens, but I don't have to look back to see his pissed-off face. I don't know why Xander keeps provoking Aiden. He must know how much of a crazed devil he can be.
"Hey, Knight."
Aiden's voice drifts in clear menace.
"If you say things like that again, I'll be saying things you won't like.
The dimples disappear from Xander's face, and he narrows his eyes before throwing his fork on his pasta plate.
Fuck you, King. Wait, what things?
Ronan stares between them.
Seriously, I'm tired of being left in the dark. Why doesn't anyone tell me anything around here? Because you have a big mouth.
Cole says.
No, I don't. Yeah, you do.
Everyone at the table agrees. Ronan launches into a long argument about all the secrets he kept for them by spilling them. It's amusing to watch him being a bit of a drama queen with Xander provoking him and Cole trying to shut him up. With one last squeeze to my shoulder, Aiden strides to where they serve the food.
Are you sure you want to be with a stage 5 creeper like him?
Xander slides to my side, grinning and appearing unaffected by Aiden's threat.
I'm always here if you change your mind.
He starts to inch closer, but Cole steps between us. He gives Xander a knowing look. Some sort of a secret conversation goes on between them. Xander rolls his eyes and focuses back on his food.
Stop provoking King, Knight.
One of the football team's players, the goalkeeper, says.
We're going to screw up the championship if our ace strikers continue being at each other's throats.
A few of his teammates give me a condescending look, as if I'm the source of this entire chaos. Why are you looking at me that way? I square my shoulders. I didn't ask for either of their attention. If you can keep your ace striker the hell away from me, I'd appreciate it. Silence falls on the table, except for Xander, who grins, showcasing his dimples.
No wonder she's the best friend. You think anyone can tell King anything?
Ronan shakes his head with a sly smile.
I mean, you're the one he called adorable. He did.
The goalkeeper asks.
I swear to God, I'm not shitting you. I still have the creeps for real.
Ronan says.
Come on, Ellie. Record it for us next time.
I can't help but suppress a smile. The football players who used to give me harsh stares are now watching me with awe. Cole clears his throat.
Knock it off, Ro. Nah, come on, Captain. Don't kill the fun.
Ronan stands on his chair.
I'm opening the auction with 500. Who'll add?
They each start adding numbers like in a real auction. Huh. The rich kids sure do it differently. Cole shakes his head and opens a book. The Anatomy of Evil. Who knew a football player would be interested in such books? I'm stereotyping, though.
Aren't you going to eat?
Cole asks without paying me much attention.
You can have mine. She doesn't eat that.
Aiden's voice sounds from behind me, and I hate the chills that shoot down my spine because of his presence. He pushes Cole aside and sits beside me, holding out two plates. One has pasta. The tray he slides in front of me has salad and non-gluten pasta. Where did you get this from? I look up at him. The cafeteria doesn't have this type of food.
They do now.
They do now. Just like that, he makes it happen. I don't want to be impressed that he brought me my first special meal at school, but I am. This is the most thoughtful thing anyone but my aunt and uncle has done for me. He remembered, and he made it happen. I peek at him from beneath my eyelashes. Being on Aiden King's good side is heaven. His bad side is complete hell. It's time to choose on which side to fall. Chapter 25. Aunt and Uncle barely come home for the entire week. They usually change their clothes, fill the fridge with food, and then they're off again. I hate the house when neither of them is here, especially when it goes on for consecutive nights like this. It's frigid and cold. Kim spent a few nights with me, and Kia. We studied, Ben watched the last season of Lucifer, and we goofed around a Coldplay. Although she has more eclectic taste in music than me, we agree on Coldplay. For the past week, I somehow managed to convince Kim to sit with me at the football team's table. I was both shocked and proud of her when she sat at the same table as Xander and pretended he didn't even exist. "You sure you can't stay? It's Friday night," I ask from the doorway as she sits on the steps to tie her shoes. "I'd love to, but I can't let Keir down."
"I know."
Her dad returned from his endless diplomatic trips, and her mother is finally out of the studio. They promised Kirian a family dinner a few months ago, and this is their only chance to make it happen. "My house is usually dead, so I understand what it feels like when it's alive." I sigh. "Have fun. Text me pictures of Keir."
"You bet."
Her lips twists. "I hope those two will be parents for fucking once and not disappoint him."
"Kim."
"Doesn't matter. Keir has me." She throws a dismissive hand as she stands and faces me with a strange expression. "You know you can talk to me about the whole Kane thing, right?" I hate how my chest flips at the mere mention of his name.
"The whole Kane thing?"
"You know, the part about coming all over his face.
Twice."
My cheeks heat and I wish I could hide in a hole.
"Here I thought you'd forgotten about that."
"Hell no," she chuckles, nudging me. "I was waiting for you to fess up."
"I'm just..." I hang my head against the wall. "I don't know. He's so intense, and I feel like if I give in to him, I'll never find a way out. Not to mention that he's distracting me. Cambridge is just around the corner, and there's no way in hell I'm letting anything take it away from me. Especially not some boy drama, but..."
"But?"
"But I feel a sick type of relief whenever he comes to find me, corners me, and takes away the decision.
Isn't that crazy?"
"All the best things usually are," she grins. I jab her shoulders playfully.
"You're not helping."
"Ellie, you're my best friend, and I love you, but you're too safe."
Kim's voice shifts to the grown-up tone she uses with her little brother.
"You've been living your life so much by the rules, it's like you're a 30-year-old woman wrapped in an 18-year-old body."
I should be offended, but I'm not.
"That's not true,"
I tell her.
"Not true."
She gives me an, "Are you shitting me?" look.
"You didn't touch the ice cream, even though your aunt isn't here. I'm sure a bite or two won't kill you, but you don't even want to consider going against your aunt's wishes.
Those types of food rot the body."
"Do you hear yourself? You sound just like your aunt, and that's not a compliment."
"Kim, I mean, look at your interests."
"What about them?"
"You picked up yoga because of your aunt. You like football because of your uncle.
Hell, you're going to Cambridge because they're alumni."
I cross my arms. "Aunt and uncle saved me from the alternative of foster homes. They gave me a safe, healthy upbringing. If it weren't for the heart surgery they paid for, I would have died. There's nothing wrong with wanting them to be happy."
"Sure, you're totally right."
Kim leans against the wall.
"But have you thought that maybe you're living your aunt and uncle's lives, not yours? Maybe that's why you're so inexplicably drawn to King."
"What? How?"
"You've always lived by the rules. He doesn't. He's free in ways you aren't. Maybe that's why you're attracted to him."
Kim's words strike so deeply I visibly flinch.
"You know, in the summer camp, this Buddha priest chap told us an interesting tidbit," she continues.
"What?"
"Souls are attracted to each other."
After saying goodbye, I stand rooted at the entrance, her last words playing like an echo in my head. "Souls are attracted to each other. Aiden's soul is black. So what does that make mine?" I'm about to head inside when I catch movement. A black car is parked across from the house right under the street lamp. The windows are tinted, so I can't see inside. The car has been there for the entire day before I went to school and after I returned. An ominous feeling creeps down my spine. It's like I've seen that car before. Where? I bolt the door and activate the alarm system. The house feels so calm, eerie and cold. I sit down for dinner, but I'm not really hungry. I eat anyway so Aunt won't feel upset if she finds the boxes as she left them. Have you thought that maybe you're living your aunt and uncle's lives, not yours? Kim's words return and I shoo them away. I need to eat because my heart is acting up again. I know I should visit Dr. Albert soon, but I need to participate in the track competition first. The other time, Dr. Albert mentioned another surgery. Not only will I kiss track running goodbye, but I might lose precious months that I should use to prepare for college. I intend to live this year to the fullest, and then, when it's time for the surgery, I will have it. While I'm eating, I play chess against myself, knocking the black king a few times. See? I love playing chess. Kim was wrong. Not all of my interests are linked to aunt and uncle, even if Uncle Jackson first taught me chess. After a few rounds, I push the board away and retrieve my phone to check the school's website. Then I recall it's the weekend. My finger hovers over Instagram. I don't even pretend to scroll in the feeds. I go straight to Aiden's profile. He hasn't posted anything after that picture of us kissing. It's so unlike him, considering that he posts at least once a day. When I first saw the picture, I was too mortified to study it properly. Now I'm calmer. Almost. I zoom in and see how entangled we really are. The look of utter possessiveness and rogue claiming on his face. The look of abandonment on mine. Some screw was loose at that time. I scroll down to the comments. No girls gush all over him on this picture. Most are friendly teases from the football team. Ronan wrote, "You better be sorry for stealing my show that night, King." I blush, remembering how he caught us. My pulse spikes when I make out the last comment. It's only minutes ago, and it's from Silver. Side dish until the actual menu comes. I stab my fork at the empty plate. What in the ever-loving hell is her problem? First, I'm a peasant, then I'm a side dish. And the bastard didn't even delete her comment. I hit home and throw the phone on the table. With a few calming breaths, I take my plates and do the dishes as calmly as I can manage, not bothering with the washer. I almost break the utensils. With the water still running, I grip the sink's edge with both hands as I breathe heavily. I always thought jealousy was for weak, insecure people, but apparently I'm turning into one too. It's blinding and downright scary how much I want to hurt her for messing with what's mine. But then again, Aiden isn't mine. Not really. So I'm being all pissed off about nothing. And that pisses me off more. I finish the dishes and retreat to my room to study. It's the only logical thing in my life at the moment. An hour or so later, I crawl into bed, trying not to think about how Aiden has been bringing my special food every day. How he made sure we're seen in the halls together, so no one bullies me anymore. How he brings me water after practice. How he watches me with that concern when I'm running, as if he knows my heart isn't doing so well. I shouldn't appreciate the thoughtful gestures, but I do. And they're tumbling my defenses worse than anything else. Unable to resist, I check Instagram again. I scroll down to Silver's comment, but it isn't there anymore. Not sure if she deleted it or if he did. My phone vibrates with the text. Aiden. I sit up in bed, my heart somersaulting inside its cavity. Aiden.
Can't sleep. I'm thinking about you.
I should pretend to be asleep, but I just can't. I'm feeling so off tonight, and I'm afraid that if I close my eyes, nightmares will barge in. I type back. Elsa. I can't sleep either. Aiden.
Why?
Elsa. I'm scared of going to sleep sometimes. I regret that as soon as I hit send. He doesn't need to know that. The three dots appear and disappear as if he's thinking about what to say. Aiden.
I don't like to sleep either.
I sit up straighter. Elsa. Why? Aiden.
It's boring.
Elsa. Eye roll emoji. Really? Aiden.
Remember that ghost I told you about? It visits me often when I sleep.
Is the ghost his mother? Before I can reply, he sends another text. Aiden.
How about we distract each other?
Elsa. I don't like the sound of that. Aiden.
Trust me, you will like it. Eventually.
Aiden.
What are you wearing?
Elsa. Seriously? Facepalm emoji. We're playing this game? Aiden.
Tell me.
Elsa. Fine. PJs with little rabbits on them. Not sexy at all. Aiden.
Let me be the judge of that. Wink emoji.
Aiden.
Besides, everything is sexy on you.
I try not to blush, but I freaking do. Aiden.
Give me more. What are you wearing under the PJs?
I bite my lower lip as I type. Elsa. Nothing. Aiden.
Fuck. Now I want to be the rabbit PJs.
Elsa. And what will you do? Aiden.
Aside from rubbing against you until you come, I have to think of other options PJs have.
Heat blooms between my thighs, and my fingers tremble when I type. Elsa. What if you were here with me? What would you do with the PJs? Aiden.
Is this a trick question?
Elsa. I want to know. Dot, dot, dot. Aiden.
First of all, I'll rip the thing off you. Then I'll bite your nipple and suck on it until you beg me to stop. I'll finger fuck you until you come all over my hand, but I won't stop.
My hand slips under the waistband of my shorts and plunges into my slick folds. Elsa. No? Aiden.
No. While you're coming down from the wave, I'll eat your pussy until you scream all over again. Then I'll release your hair and hold you with it while I fuck you until both of us pass out.
I rub up and down harder with every word in his texts. It's not my hand. It's Aiden's mouth that's driving me insane. His fingers inside me. His cock down my throat. I come with a cry and muffle the sound into my pillow. My cheeks are so hot I'll think they'll explode. I can't believe I just brought myself to orgasm thinking it was Aiden. My phone vibrates one more time. Aiden.
Don't sleep.
Ashamed of what I just did, or what he made me do, I groan and stand up, abandoning my phone on the nightstand. Opening the balcony's window, I let the chilling air fill my senses. The first droplets of rain hit my nose, and I close my eyes, tipping my head back to let it rinse me, cleanse me. My nostrils fill with the scent of the earth after the rain, and I inhale it in. When I open my eyes, the black car is still there. My lips tremble as I abandon the rain and crawl back into my bed. Whimpers come from the basement. My little feet follow the sound. I'm whimpering myself, but them whimpers from the basement are louder and more in pain. I dart my eyes back, expecting the boogeyman to follow me down here. Ma says I should never be down here, because the monsters hide in places like these. Ma looks like a monster sometimes, when she's talking about him. The one who shall not be named. Her eyes look black like them Daz friends. Sometimes she hugs and squeezes me till I think I'm joining the one who shall not be named. Elsa. Oh, no.
If Ma finds me, she'll squeeze me to death again. I don't like them monsters in her eyes, because Dad won't stop hitting her when she has them monsters. Then his monsters and her monsters become the same. Then whimpers turn into moans. I stop at the basement's door and peek through the opening of the key. The monsters took another person, like the one who shall not be named. This time, I have to help them. I have to stop the monsters in Ma and Dad's eyes.
Elsa!
A blow smacks my back. My head hits the door, and something warm and red trickles down my temple. I look back and see the monsters. They're black. They're murky. They have whole eyes. My lips tremble as I'm struck again. Blow. 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 You'll pay for that, Elsa. I wake up with a start. Sweat trickles down my spine, sticking my PJs to my back. I dart my eyes to the side and shriek. A shadow looms over my bed. Chapter 26. The monster from my childhood stands over my bed like a shadow. A boogeyman. He's finally coming for me. Blood roars in my ears and my heartbeat catches on an irregular, sick rhythm. Thump. I screw my lids shut and cover my ears with both my hands. This is a dream. It's all in my head. The boogeyman isn't real. The monster isn't real. No matter how much I chant that, it doesn't stop the voices from filtering through my high-built fortress. Murmurs. Haunted moans. Pained whimpers. Heavy footsteps come closer and closer, suffocating me like a vice.
Hush, little baby, don't you cry.
No. I place both hands on my ears, trying to suffocate the haunting sound. I hate that song. I hate the way she sings it with that manic humming and the monsters in her eyes.
Everything's going to be all right.
No!
Mama's gonna buy you a little toy. And if that toy doesn't work, Mama will bring you another one.
No, no!
You'll never escape me, Elsa. You're my masterpiece, Elsa. Elsa. Elsa.
Elsa!
They won't have me. Not again. Never again. I hit at his chest with both fists. His arms surround me, making me nauseous. I swore I'd never let him put his hands on me anymore. Not again. Not this time. Ma! I screech. She can help me. She has to help me. That's what mothers do, right? They save the children from the monsters. Ma, help! My voice and my breathing cut off. I'm thrown into water. Dark, murky, bottomless water. I gasp, but only water fills my throat, my lungs, all of me. Thrashing, I try to surface to find refuge from the monsters. A hand holds my head underwater. It's suffocating. It fills my nostrils, my mouth, and my frantic eyes. I can't breathe. Please, Ma. Please, Dad. Please help me. Cold shocks my skin and my limbs turn numb. I'm floating. Drifting. It's useless to fight it. Maybe the one who shall not be named fought it, too. Maybe that's why his name isn't spoken anymore.
Maybe I'll be like him. Through the foggy haze, someone calls my name with an edge to their voice. He's calling my name. I won't be like the one who shall not be named. He knows my name. Can you see me behind the monsters? I ask in my head.
I do.
I don't think he does, but I hold on to that glimmer of a voice. It's soothing. So soothing. Maybe their monsters are invisible to him. He sees me like no one did before. He sees me.
Elsa!
Like being hauled from the depth of an ocean, I gasp and my eyes pop open. My vision is blurry, and all I see are dark shadows. My heartbeat doesn't calm, thinking I'm at that place again. However, the arms surrounding me aren't scary. If anything, they're soothing. It's like an escape I couldn't find back then. I blink the tears from my blurry vision. Furrowed, dark features greet me. Strands of his dark hair fall on his forehead. I blink once, twice. He doesn't disappear. Aiden. My voice is so hoarse I barely manage to get the words out.
It's okay.
He strokes my back in tiny circles.
You're not alone, I'm here.
I don't know if it's because of his words or because of the nightmares I just had. I don't care either. My fingers curl into his t-shirt. My forehead falls against the hardness of his chest. And I let the tears loose. Sobs wreck my chest, and I let it all out. I don't even know what I'm crying about. They were only nightmares. They aren't real. They can't be real. I curl further into Aiden's lap and hold tighter onto him. He's real. His warmth and the strange sense of security I feel in his arms is real. The nightmares aren't. Aiden puts a hand under my bottom and pulls me onto him so I'm sitting on his lap. I wrap my legs around his waist, strangling him. He doesn't complain. He remains silent, stroking my back, my hair, and the side of my arm. I couldn't be more thankful for his calm, anchor-like presence. He's here, but he's not talking. He's letting me deal with it on my own. The last time I had an episode like this, strangely, 2 years ago, right after my first day in Rez, Aunt and Uncle freaked. And I mean, they literally freaked. I thought Aunt was the monster, and I hit her. I screamed and cursed at her. I didn't stop until Uncle locked her out of the room. When I regained my consciousness, Aunt wouldn't stop asking me what I saw. She had a horrified, sick look on her face, like she was going to throw up. In the morning, they took me to Dr. Khan, and I had therapy sessions for almost 6 months. Since then, I've been avoiding nightmares, or at least the strong, crippling ones that seem so real. For 2 years, I never bothered Aunt and Uncle with my nightmares, even when I needed a shoulder to cry on. Even when what I saw, what I felt, scared the hell out of me. It's so strange that Aiden, my tormentor and bully, fills the role no one did. How can he be the shoulder I cry on? Still gripping his t-shirt, I stare up at him. His brows are drawn together over the stormiest color I've ever seen his eyes. His features are closed with deep concern. My breath hitches. Who thought there would be a day where Aiden King would be worried about me? I should feel self-conscious for the ugly crying, or hate the vulnerability I just showed him. Hell, my face must be chaos right now. Hey, I say over hiccoughs. His hand doesn't stop caressing my back, while his other hand lifts my chin. He searches my eyes, as if looking for something. Or someone.
Do you feel better?
His voice is firm, but it's not harsh. Some unshed tears rim in my eyes as I nod.
Did I trigger that by coming through the balcony?
He asks carefully. I already had the nightmare when you came, so I was triggered before.
By what?
I don't know. My head hurts, and I want nothing more than to sleep. I push the idea away as fast as it came. What if the nightmare returns?
Are your nightmares always triggered?
Aiden is still holding my jaw, making me stare into his unyielding eyes. For some reason, they're not intruding as usual. They're just curious. Caring, even. Maybe that's why I confide in him. Yes. Dr. Conn always tells me to stay away from anything that can serve as a trigger.
Such as?
Aiden prompts. Candles, basements, dim red light, deep water, such as pools, beaches, and lakes, sleeping in the dark. I don't even know how Dr. Conn got the list. Maybe it's from the scraps of nightmares I've told him. My lips part, and I stumble to my feet. The black car! Aiden follows me, staring at me as if I'm about to have the episode again. The black car! My voice breaks. Is there still a black car parked across the street?
No.
How do you know that?
I parked across the street and there was no black car there.
With snail movements, I slowly peel the curtains of the balcony back. Sure enough, Aiden's Ferrari's parked across the street. The lamp causes its red to shine. No sign of a black car. I sigh and fall back into a sitting position on the bed, pushing wild strands of hair behind my ears. My eyes feel puffy and swollen. My nose is stuffed and I feel like hell. This isn't how I want Aiden to see me. What are you doing here anyway? I climb under the covers, trying to hide my chaotic look. A sly grin lifts his lips as he sits beside me.
Why did you think I told you not to sleep?
For some reason, that makes me smile back. You climb onto people's balconies a lot.
Just yours. I usually prefer doors.
I bite my lip. Wait. I had the alarm on.
But you left the balcony's door open.
Right. I was too consumed with the rain that I forgot to close it afterwards. Some part of my brain thinks I should be mad at Aiden for sneaking into my room. But I'm not. Far from it. I don't know what would have happened if I had a strong episode while being on my own. Thank you. Fresh tears sting my eyes, and I swallow them in. Aiden kicks off his shoes and climbs in beside me. His broad frame and tall legs dwarf my bed. I pull the sheet to my chin. What are you doing?
Sleeping,
he says, ever so casually. You can't sleep here.
Sure can.
But words die in my throat when Aiden presses his lips to mine in a soft, quick kiss. He pulls me onto his chest so my head lies against his bicep. My nostrils fill with his clean scent, and I can't help inhaling deeper like an addict. Strong arms surround me as he murmurs,
Just sleep, sweetheart.
I never sleep if I can help it after a nightmare. Because I'm scared, it'll continue if I do. But in Aiden's arms, I don't feel scared or paranoid. I don't even think about the double nightmares I had. I feel safe. I curl my fingers into his shirt and place my ear over his soothing heartbeat. A normal heartbeat. I close my eyes and surrender to the pool of sleep. Safe. Chapter 27. No nightmares. That's the first thought that crosses my sleepy consciousness as soon as I open my eyes. Then I take in the warmth. So much warmth. Aiden spent the night here. In my bed. I stare at his sleeping face. His chin grazes my forehead, and the slight stubble tickles my skin. One of his arms surrounds my waist, his hand resting in the middle of my back. The other lies limp, because I'm using his bicep as a pillow. His leg cages both of mine, like he's stopping me from escaping. I have to crane my head to get a full view of his face. His lashes appear thicker and longer when his eyes are closed. His features are serene, as if he isn't feeling the weight of my head on his arm. Who knew someone like Aiden would look so peaceful when asleep? And who knew there would be a day where I'd sleep hugging him all night? When he pulled me into him, I felt a sense of belonging. No, I shouldn't be feeling any belonging with Aiden when I still haven't figured him out yet. He's the same person who choked me that day and told me he'd destroy me. I can't start trusting him because he climbed into my balcony and soothed my nightmares. Right? Feeling confused, I slowly peel his heavy arm from around my waist and inch towards the edge of the bed, scooping my phone on the way. I stand and throw one last peek at the massive body sprawled in my bed. Tingles curl my toes and across my spine. Nope, not going there. I trudge to the bathroom and quietly close the door. A gasp leaves my lips when I look at my face in the mirror. A mess is the understatement of the freaking century. My eyes are bloodshot and puffy. It's a miracle they're still open. Strands of my blonde hair poke out of my head like antennas, and tears have left streaks down my cheeks. How did Aiden even look at me, let alone hold me to sleep? It's my own face, and I'm disgusted with it. I open the faucet and splash water on my face. Weird. I don't have that urge to scrub my hands clean. It's usually the first thing I do after a nightmare. After brushing my teeth and pulling my hair into a messy bun, I turn to leave the bathroom. My phone buzzes on the counter. Since it's almost 7 in the morning, I don't have to guess who'd be checking in on me this early. Aunt B. Morning, hun. It's the weekend, so you sleep in, okay? We're still caught up, so we might come back later tonight. I'll be checking the boxes, so don't skip meals. I stare at her text and contemplate what to reply. Except that I don't want to reply right now. It's Saturday, so I'll pretend to sleep in like she told me to. Don't you think you're living your aunt and uncle's lives, not yours? I wish Kim never said those words because I can't stop replaying them. Yesterday's nightmare reminded me of something I've always put on the back burner. Like Aunt and Uncle's reactions to my nightmares. Why would Aunt Blair ask questions? Why did Uncle Jackson kick her out? It's like they know more than they're letting on. The nightmares aren't normal, and they always follow the same pattern. In a basement? In water? In the dark? They've been the same since I was 7. Since my parents' death. I grip the counter as tendrils of fear shoot through my spine. For 10 years, I always thought that the past should stay where it belonged. Aunt and uncle offered me a new life, and the only way to embrace it was to erase any life I had prior to that. But then again, ignoring it doesn't mean it disappears. With shaky fingers, I pull up Google and type. Fire in Birmingham 10 years ago. The first articles that come out are about a grand fire that happened in a copper factory. 50 people died on the spot, 20 in the hospital, and a dozen others followed after a few weeks. It was a massive fire that shook the country and the government. The cause has been ruled as a negligent smoker, and the case closed too soon. I fall into a rabbit hole and study all the articles, comments, and even the interviews. A few workers said that Reggie, the one accused to have smoked inside the facility, never smoked inside. Not that Reggie can defend himself, considering that he died on the spot. I go back to the main search. It takes a few pages to find an article about a domestic fire. My home. No. My house. It feels weird to call it home. The fire happened a week after the Grand Birmingham fire. My back leans against the counter as I read all the information I already know. Stove malfunction takes the life of a family. The only survivor is the daughter, who had been outside by the lake. The lake. The fire burned the house inside out and straight to the basement. The detectives found it hard to gather evidence. Basement. The remains of Mr. and Mrs. Steele have been retrieved and identified. Remains. I don't know why, I only keep seeing the technical details. They say being burnt alive is the most painful death. I should feel something about the reminder.